You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
What it is, what's up, and welcome everyone to Faces and Feels. I'm your host, Rafe Houston, and today I'm joined by a very special guest. We haven't heard from this man in a little while. In fact, we were doing the maths and it was like 3 years since his last episode, episode 102. This will be episode 173, 70 episodes in 3 years. If that doesn't give you an idea about my mental health, then nothing does. But hey, we're kicking on. So this is a man that I personally believe is the Australian deathmatch ace. It is the one and only somebody about to make his return to ICW No Holds Barred and to Australian deathmatch wrestling. It is Callan Butcher. How are you today, my man?
I'm doing very, very well. Thank you so much for having me on. It has been a long time since we've spoken in this kind of setting. We've just been talking on Instagram or speaking at a show whenever I would actually show up to a show. So.
Exactly. It's funny though, because like I only obviously get over to a few shows in Melbourne considering the distance, but usually when I go, it does happen to be the one that you're at. So it has been good. I do feel like I've seen you every time I've come to Melbourne basically since. So it's always like a pleasure to see you. And then when we were both together at the last Dream Tag Team weekend and ICW No Holds Bard weekend, you sort of gave me a bit of a tap on the shoulder, a bit of an audible that we might be seeing the return of Callan Butcher. And I got very, very excited. And when the announcement came out, when you hit the ring and responded to Danny's challenge and stuff, I got to feel like, got to say, like, I felt like a piece that was missing return to wrestling for me. Because there was a time there, these have been a long few years and there's been all kinds of things that have happened, good and bad in wrestling, and my interest is, you know, rise and falls and things like that. And then when you were in that ring and you were talking, I was like, fuck, it feels good to have Callan back. It really did, man. How did it feel for you? Because it's a big decision to return.
Yeah, It was a long time, a lot longer thought out than when I decided to leave.
Yeah.
It was like I'd been approached a few times. I was like, oh, I don't know. At first it was just a flat out no. And then, then a few things happened and I started thinking, oh, could be something in it. I spoke to a few friends and then when I decided to finally get the ball rolling on it. When Danny put out that promo calling me out, just seeing the reception from that alone without like a guarantee that I was coming back, just like the way that people reacted to it and like seeing that people were feeling specific ways about it, it made me feel like it was the right decision.
Yeah.
To come back.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, but when I showed up at the Jeff Cannonball Hardcore Cup, the crowd reaction there was insane. I wasn't expecting people to just like straight up on their feet cheering for me before I'd even taken my little mask off. And then, yeah, within seconds of the MDU putting that clip online, I was getting messages from people, not even just like deathmatch wrestlers, or fans, like people from all over the world were messaging me like within seconds. Mm. And like people that I didn't really expect to even care, saying that they were happy to see me back doing what I love. And it was just, it meant the world to me. And I definitely know now that I've made the right decision.
Yeah, that's so awesome, man. But It is a crazy thing, right? Because you and I were speaking off mic a little bit beforehand, so we'll rewind for people that aren't necessarily in the headspace that we are, that for, I suppose what people need to realize is that with somebody like yourself, despite, like, you kind of were almost, DMDU and Callum Butcher sort of felt a little bit like an overnight success, in a sense that, like, the first pay-per-view dropped, you were in the main event, you know, you and Damien Rivers, you were, you know, champion of the company, you won tournaments there and stuff like that. And so you were positioned in a way and like were a beloved member of Australian wrestling, right? And then you suddenly go away and it's probably like, oh, you know, he was suddenly this kind of success and then he disappeared. But I think what a lot of people need to realize is that, you know, that's the longest overnight success in the world, you know what I mean? You'd spent a lifetime training and getting better and working at being a professional wrestler. So somebody who does that doesn't just quit overnight and it doesn't take a toll on you. You know what I mean? Like to talk about the mindset that you were in, maybe we should just rewind a little bit and kind of give people an idea of where you were at sort of when you came to the end of the road and you were like, you know what, I'm going to hang the boots up for a time.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I think, like, even last time we spoke, like, we spoke about, like, the real life Callan and, like, mm-hmm. the job that I was doing where I was a diesel mechanic. Mm-hmm. And that was honestly miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I was also helping run DMDU from the start.
Mm-hmm.
So
not just that, wrestling, there's a lot of extra sort of pressures there when you're behind the scenes and
exactly. Like yeah. And there'd be like fake people or whatever that would like say something good to your face and then say something behind your back and stuff like that. And that's just wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And like I didn't really click with it until a little bit after I'd left that like I was taking everything way too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And wrestling is supposed to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like realistically in independent wrestling, especially in Australia, you're not going to be making a lot of money. You're going to be doing this out of your passion and your love for it. And I wasn't, I lost sight of that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the passion and love. But that's it. It's also affected by like outside sources.
Mm-hmm.
So like that end job that I was in, that was miserable. I was being treated like dirt every day. And for in Victoria, there's a process in high school called VCAL, mm-hmm. where you at year 10, you can decide to either do your VCE, which is going into your tertiary education like university,
mm-hmm.
or you can do VCAL where you choose a specific trade
mm-hmm.
and everything that you're taught is towards that and it's working towards getting you an apprenticeship.
Right.
So, yeah, like I dropped out of school in year 11 after doing VCAL for 2 years because I was offered an apprenticeship as a mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have like any university qualifications or anything. So.
Mm-hmm.
With the miserable job that I was in, it kind of like started really affecting me that I didn't think I'd ever be able to get out of that.
Yeah. You're like, I've thrown all my chips into this basket. In fact, I didn't finish high school because I thought this was what I wanted to do. And now I'm here living it. This isn't what I wanted to do. I'm having a miserable time and I have nothing else. Like, no, you'd be feeling like I maybe don't have any other options because this is what I did my last 2 years of education based around. So it's like, am I educated to X level in people's eyes, you know?
Yeah, and there was also, like, the aspect of it being, like, such a miserable experience.
Yeah.
So I was working at one place. I worked there for 7 years until they went out of business.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went somewhere else, and I was there for another 5 or 6 years. I was a mechanic for 13 years. I'm not entirely good with math because I dropped out of school.
You were good at times though when we were arranging this interview exactly. Where I thought Perth was ahead of Melbourne briefly, which is insane, but
yeah, so I had the 13 years of experience in this one specific field that I was in the mindset that if I ever left that job, I was never going to be a mechanic again because I hated it so much. So I was like, oh shit, what do I do? And yeah, so like I was in the middle of that being treated like dirt at this job. And then on top of like the pressures of like running a business that was semi-successful, but then semi-not successful because wrestling has its ups and downs always. And yeah, I was just like, I wasn't sleeping. I wasn't eating. Like I could even tell watching like my last few matches back that like I was not the same person as when I'd started.
With yeah. Well, that's it. And then there's talking about both those things. There's the third thing there in that you're also trying to be Callum Butcher. Like you're trying to be a successful wrestler. You're trying to be the champion of the company. You're trying to do that. But at the same time, your own wrestling development is sort of being affected because you're trying to help book the shows and do the things, and then you're hating your job, and then, you know, you also have like a full-time partner and all of these things. I completely understand the thing. It's like, you know what? I don't want to do any of this anymore. I just want to walk away from everything, like, is what it ends up feeling like.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, I needed to drop something, and it's not like I'm just going to walk away from Aaron.
No.
That'd be insane.
No, exactly. That's not what I meant at all, but like all the other external.
I was just going through like the options mind at the time. Mm-hmm. Like that's not an option at all.
Mm-hmm.
The job, I need it to live because renting and living in Australia is shit.
Yeah.
So I couldn't really cut out my source of income. So the only thing that I had to be able to cut out was wrestling.
That's the only thing that could give, right? Like,
it's the only thing with flexibility, which like it broke my heart to do, but it was like, I need to do it because otherwise I'm not going to make it past this year, really.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of where I was at that point.
Yeah, sure.
And like, so after I made the decision to leave, there was like a 2 year period. It was 2023, maybe like a 1.5 year period where like I couldn't even watch wrestling.
Yeah.
So like I went to the Dream 3 show, which was I probably let fly the retired word a bit quick there.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point in my life, I felt like there's no way that I'm going to be able to do this because I was still in this dead end job.
Yeah.
I couldn't even really watch wrestling because anytime that I saw any kind of wrestling, it felt like sticking like another needle in my heart.
Yeah. Right. So it wasn't the feeling like I'm angry at wrestling. You were feeling like I had to give that up in order to do, you know, all these other things to survive, to do all this stuff. And so even to see it is like heartbreaking, right? Because it's something that you had been working your life towards and you had to put it on the shelf.
Yeah, exactly. And I love wrestling with all my heart. And that was wrestling for a lot of people is their escape from reality. And when it became not enough to be my escape from reality, it really broke my heart.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I was made redundant at my mechanic job, which turned out to be one of the best things to ever happen to me.
Yeah.
Where I managed to land a job, surprisingly, within like 3 weeks being unemployed, which was a lifesaver.
It's kind of crazy, the redundancy thing, right? Because like you're hating it. You feel like you can't resign and be put in that thing. And in the end, the redundancy and what that meant for you, it sort of took that decision out of your hands, but it gave you exactly what you wanted. You know what I mean?
Like to put it as like a mirror to when I left wrestling, when I left wrestling, like I was heartbroken. I was just distraught. When I had the meeting where my job, my workplace told me that I was being made redundant, I was so happy because it felt like I'd been thrown a lifeline.
Yeah, because redundancy in Australia, that usually involves some kind of payout as well, because they're essentially going to pay you to leave. They don't have a role for you anymore. So that would give you essentially a buffer to then figure out what you want to do instead. Right.
Yeah.
It gives you just like, it's not forever, but it does give you just, okay, I've got a bit of a landing pad here while I figure this out over the next X amount of time.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I was a bit worried that it would probably end up leading to me going back to a mechanic job that I would then hate.
But, yeah.
I put the timeline that if I was unemployed for a month, then I would start considering going back to a mechanic job, but I was looking elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I managed to land a fantastic job that I'm in now.
Uh-huh.
That's just it. Yeah, it's changed everything for me, really.
It's great.
And then, yeah, like as soon as it's crazy, because like as soon as that redundancy happened, I remember just like scrolling on Twitter and I saw something about Desperado and Jun Kasai having.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was just cool as shit. So like I
love that.
I tried to see if I could watch it, and I would say that Desperado is like my favorite wrestler at the moment.
Mine too. No exaggeration. Like, anything he fucking does turns to gold. And I'm real burnt out on New Japan at the moment. They've been making a lot of decisions, but anything Desperado does reminds me that I still like wrestling.
Yeah, any of like the invitational shows or anything like that that Despy has a hand in,
yeah,
is my favorite show of that specific month.
Yeah,
That
show was unhinged. Yeah. The Invitational was so fucking wild. Like, and then it's like he wins the Super Juniors, wins the title, does Wrestle Kingdom or whatever it was. He did like a ton of these huge big things, and then next minute he's like kissing Dino on like the Invitational. Like, he just does whatever he wants, and it's amazing.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Like, yeah. And like him being one of the best junior heavyweights in the world, being the IWGP junior heavyweight champion, and then having a death match with Takeda and Kasai is insane to think about.
Yeah.
And then to watch it and it be one of the best death matches that I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, like Desperado and Jun Kasai helped me fall back in love with watching wrestling. Because I always loved wrestling, but it helped open the door to the possibility of maybe I could do this again.
Man, that's so cool. I was just in Japan during the ICW tour, and I had the opportunity to meet Jun Kasai. And when I tell you, I had no chill whatsoever. Like, it's like I talk to a lot of wrestlers, right? And like, you know, I've met a lot of famous people over the years, being in bands, some of my favorite bands, quite famous wrestlers and things like that. None of them, you know, no sell it, whatever, cool. We're all talking. We're all on the same page. I had quite a few drinks at the old, the first ICW No Holds Barred show in Japan. I was very excited to see a lot of my friends for the first time in real life, you know, like Struggles and Jack and those dudes, Malcolm and Tommy. And my wife and I went to 0 Second Lemon Sour. Have you heard of this? This is all leading somewhere, but it's basically a, you know, yakiniku style restaurant, but there's a tap on the thing and you can pay for 60 minutes, 90 minutes, whatever. And then you can just pour yourself lemon sour, 7%, they say. And they're like, it really is 7%, trust us. And I was like, I'll believe it when I see it. Anyway, took unfair advantage of that generous offer. Literally, we're at the last minutes, like filling other bowls and stuff on the table, like salad bowls with lemon sour and shit. Like, went to this show, wasted as fuck. And I went outside briefly on my own to do it. And as I did, Jun Kasai was waiting for his Uber and he was just out there on his own. And dude, I lost my shit. I was like, Kasai-san! Like, and I was wearing all his merch and shit. I was like, can I get a photo and stuff? And I was like, that's the least cool I've been with anybody ever. Like, just because I was so excited to meet him, because I really believe he's like the fucking best to ever do it. Eh? Well, him and Takeda.
Yeah.
And yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Sorry, I cut off your story, but I had to get that in somewhere because I thought you would enjoy laughing at me being an absolute fanboy.
No, it's Kasai. Mark out as much as you want.
Yeah. I was showing him because I had his shirt on, but it had a full background. I had my back off. I'm like, I'm wearing your shit. You're the fucking man. Like, I was like, can we get a photo? He's like, yeah, cool. Like, he is obviously been doing this for like, you know, 30, 40 years. So he's nothing fazed him. It's not like he was like bothered by somebody that was super into his work. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That would be pretty, I think, standard for him, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's so cool, man. Like they, you know, and what they do, and the freedom and like love for deathmatch that they try and broadcast to the world touched you. I think is really cool.
Yeah, yeah, and so like that was a big part of me being able to watch, like actually sit down and watch wrestling and enjoy it, mm-hmm. And then. When Dmitry came down to Melbourne, Dmitry mm-hmm. Alexandrov,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got a message from Joel because I'm one of the psychos that ordered a shitload of syringes for when, because I was one of the psychos that actually enjoys doing syringe spots.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. I enjoy making people uncomfortable like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, Dmitry had mentioned that he wanted to do syringes and, obviously, Joel remembered that I had probably 200 stashed around somewhere.
Yeah.
So I got a message from Joel saying that, he was just asking if I had the syringes. I said, I'll check when I'm home. Then he said that Dmitry also really wants to meet you. So I don't know if you can make it to a show, but if not, we can meet you. Mm-hmm. We ended up meeting for a beer, and it was just, yeah, really cool to hang out with Dmitry. And yeah, when we met, he was telling me that, like, even when he said that he was going to come to Australia, like, there was a whole bunch of people from the States saying, like, please say hi to Callan, or do you think Callan will come back, or mm-hmm. something like that. And that was, that kind of made me realize, like, because there was a part of me where I thought that I might have been forgotten.
Yeah, sure.
And that kind of made me think, like, well, there's no point in coming back because nobody remembers who I am.
Mm.
So I would have been full story back to the nobody.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it made me realize, like, okay, so I left an impression on some people out there mm-hmm. that would probably be happy to see me come back.
Mm-hmm.
And then... Joel had mentioned it. He's like, oh, like, we've got this show and this show. Like, if you want to, like, show up or anything, like, it'd be cool. It'd be a cool moment. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I'll see how I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. And then I got in my car and I started driving home. And, like, the second song to come on my Spotify was Junkies. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that just hit me like a ton of bricks.
Yeah.
Yeah, for anybody who doesn't know, Junkies is the Ocean Junkies by Ocean Grove is my entrance music.
Sorry, I should have pointed that out.
No, that's all good.
That's running through
everything here.
Watching you watch Ocean Grove live when we were at was it Good Things or which one was it? I saw you at that festival and you were just so excited.
It would have been Good Things, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you were excited to see them live for the first time.
Yeah. Well, it would have been the first time that they would have played, like, Junkies and, like, Flip Phone Fantasy would have been out.
Yeah.
I remember I did see Ocean Grove once, probably about 10 or 11 years ago, at a place in Geelong where they opened for a band that I'd never heard, and there was maybe 7 people there, all up, including me and my friend.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. I remember I bought one of their physical albums then.
Uh-huh.
Just like when I was like looking for entrance music, I was like, oh, I remember that band that I saw. And then I saw that they had Flip Phone Fantasy out, so I listened to all those songs. I was like, this is my favorite band ever.
That's it. Have you ever reached out to them or spoken to them?
So they came down, not came down because they're from here. They did a tour probably a year ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And they were playing in Geelong, and Aaron and I went to a show.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I was just talking to the guys after the show because they were like just loading up, waiting for their car to be brought around so they could load up. Mm-hmm. I just went and said, like, hi, I'm Callan, I'm a really big fan. And then, yeah, brought up, I used to use Junkies as my entrance music. And they're like, oh, so you're that guy.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah. I was like, oh, cool. I hope I'm allowed to. But, yeah, like they were totally cool with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'd remember seeing the socials when people would share Junkies with, like, clips of me bleeding everywhere.
Yeah. I was going to say, yeah, there's no way they wouldn't have seen it because it'd have, like, you know, like stuff with you, light tubes and going through stuff and things like that. Like,
And I'd interacted out with them a few times on socials as well, like just in DMs on Instagram.
So yeah.
Yeah, it was cool to, like, actually meet them. But, yeah, back to me coming back,
mm-hmm.
It was, like, after I realized, like, hey, I'm probably not entirely forgotten, there'd be some people that would probably be excited to see me come back.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, like, maybe I'll come back for one. Mm-hmm. Just give, like, a lot of, like, my fans, like, a really cool moment, a bit of closure. And then, as it does in wrestling, one turned to two, and then two turned to potentially three, and then it turned to me, like, pitching, like, entire storylines
and everything. and suddenly we're full time again.
yeah, like I won't be able to make every single show, but I love deathmatch wrestling,
yeah,
with all my heart, and I know that I have a lot of time to make up for,
mm-hmm.
since I've had 2.5 years of not doing it,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, even getting to see my Crimson Lover Akira absolutely mm-hmm. kill it in Japan,
mm-hmm.
stuff that we used to, like, just stay up talking about in DMs and, like, on Discord and stuff, seeing him be able to actually go and not only wrestle in Japan, not only do deathmatch in Japan, but to, like, do Korakuen Hall,
mm-hmm.
which is, like, always been, like, the goal of mine and something we always spoke about, to also, like, taking over Japanese deathmatch wrestling, becoming the king of the deathmatch and crazy. Then winning the Big Japan deathmatch title,
yeah.
which... Like, I was talking to him that whole day before the match, and not once did he ever clue me in that something might be happening. So I was watching it live and, like, actual tears running down my face when he won the belt.
Amazing.
Yeah, like, that has been something that really makes me want to go, okay, so I don't want to just go back for one, because there's still goals out there that I never achieved. And I want to be able to put myself in a position, work my ass off, to be able to achieve those goals.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, ever since I decided that I was going to come back, like, I've done actual calorie counting for the first time ever,
mm-hmm.
Realizing that the 2 to 3 large full sugar Red Bulls that I was drinking a day probably wasn't for the best.
Nah, I don't know if it was.
Yeah.
Sugar free, yeah. though, probably all right.
Yeah, well, like, I've moved to the White Monster. I'm part of the White Monster gang now.
Yes,
and ooh, yeah, that has changed a lot for me. But, like, calorie counting in general, yeah, because, like, after when I left, I was probably about 128 kilos,
mm-hmm.
and probably the heaviest I got was, like, 135 ish.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, since I decided to come back, I've, like, got my gym membership going again. I'm going to the gym pretty regularly, a lot more now that, like, things are actually all rolling on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm down to 117.
Wow.
I weighed myself this morning. Yeah. So I've, yeah, managed to lose almost 20 kilos.
Jeez.
Which is, yeah, it's lighter than when I left, because I made the decision that if I am going to do this and I am going to come back, and, like, mentally I'm in a much, much better place,
mm-hmm.
that I want to show that physically as well and come back better than I was before.
Absolutely. And you talk about, your boy Akira, the physical transformation that he's undergone during his time in Japan and stuff like that. I saw that man in real life, and I've met him in real life when he was in Australia the first time, but I saw him in real life, and I was like, you don't even look real anymore. You're like, yeah. Like, he looks amazing. Amy said he looked like a Dead or Alive character, if you remember that video game.
Yeah, I definitely remember Dead or Alive.
And he's like, that's a great compliment. But he looks unbelievable, and like the level of work he's put in just shows that, you know, what can be done, you know. And there's no reason that you can't live that life too. I feel like you have all the talent in the world, dude, and I think you've got like a, you know, a real organic connection with the fans, and all you've got to do is reach out and sort of take it, you know.
I mean, like, even touching on Akira, like, with everything that he's been able to do this year,
mm-hmm.
I feel like as far as deathmatch wrestlers that want to go to Japan,
mm-hmm.
or American deathmatch wrestlers, at the moment, I see him as the measuring stick.
Yeah.
And with me taking 2.5 years off, because I've been training,
mm-hmm.
for a number of months now to get back in the ring, I hope that I'm going to be better than when I left.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I also need to see where I want to get to reach my goals.
Mm-hmm.
So thankfully earlier this week, Danny DeManto announced that in Adelaide, it will be the Crimson Lovers Collide.
I saw this and it made me mad because I was like, fuck, I can't keep flying around this country, but maybe I do have to go to the Adelaide show.
That show is going to be absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Not only do you have probably the most insane big man death match that's ever happened in Australia with Michael Weaver versus Abdullah Kobayashi,
it's gonna be crazy. Which is
insane.
It's going to be insane.
I've also been given the opportunity to wrestle my fellow Crimson Lover and Akira. And I know that there's specific things that a lot of people will want from this match.
It's mostly kissing, I think.
Mostly kissing, yeah. I love Akira, but I also need to know where I measure up with arguably one of the best deathmatch wrestlers in the world.
Yeah. Well, think about it. So when was your first match with Akira? Was the first night of the first ICW No Holds Barred tour, right? Wasn't it in the cage?
Yeah.
You and Akira, the first time you guys wrestled, and then you kind of like tagged for the rest of that time. So now we literally fast forward, like, what, 3-4 years?
Probably about 3 years. I think it was end of 2022.
Yeah.
When that was. And we're going to be nearing the end of 2025 now.
And like, you're both completely different men now. You know what I mean? You've had time away and he has doubled down, essentially. You know what I mean? Like, spending as long as he did in Japan and everything like that. So you're going to get a real first-hand look at what that feels like.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And
I think that's so valuable, though. Like, you know what I mean? Because even, like, you already know, you're like, I know where my goals are and I know I'm not there right now. But it's going to show you how far you have to go. And I think that's like a motivational tool in a huge way, right?
Yeah, 100%. And like, with how hard I've been already working just to get back and get better than I was when I left, having that be able to set the next goals for me,
mm-hmm.
is going to be invaluable, but it's also going to be a very emotional moment
being
able to share the ring with somebody that I honestly didn't think I'd ever be able to share the ring with again.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. That's so cool, man. That's really exciting. You guys are making it so hard for me to not go to Adelaide. I messaged Joe was like, I think you should come. And I was like, is there a DMDU corporate Virgin account that I can just like put my flights on? what's the go? Can we do that? But there isn't yet, which is unfortunate for me. But it might be all right. It might be good. So I guess the next steps then, you've made the decision. You're like, you know what, fuck it, I'm going to do it. what I get, I guess the thing is, it's like now I go from being in a place where I didn't think I was going to do this anymore. I'd given up, I guess, my dream, you know, but now I'm going to reignite that. What does that look like for you? Like, is Kellen Butcher the same person? Is he changed? Like, what's that thought process like, I guess?
I think if you compare how I'm attacking this particular part to when I left, I am completely revitalized. I've had my 2.5 years off. Mm-hmm. I've changed myself up physically in more ways than one, obviously, from people that I haven't seen. I've cut all my dreadlocks off. I don't want to take any of this for granted, mm-hmm. because I didn't, there was a long time there where I didn't think that I'd ever be able to do this again. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if there is an end point for me. Mm-hmm. So for the time that I do, and every single time that I do get in a ring or a no ring or whatever it is, if I get into deathmatch, I'm going to be crazier than I ever was before. I'm going to be more aggressive than I ever was before, because I have my goals that I believe that I still can reach.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I've lost 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. I don't want to waste any more time.
It sounds like that 2.5 years, or at least I hope that 2.5 years was an investment for you in priorities, in mental health, in, you know, all those things, because it sounds like you were in a quite a dark place, obviously, and then now you get to experience doing this again, but essentially kind of with a clean slate. You know what I mean? This time you're not going in also in the back of your mind, you're thinking about that job you hated. In the back of your mind, you're thinking about the running of the company and all those kind of stuff. This is actually the first time that you just get to go and do this and just focus on being the wrestler you want to be.
Yeah, 100%.
Like all that weight is gone. You know, you've let all that go, and you spent these 2.5 years thinking about it, and the love has started to come back, and you're like, wow, I can do this, and I can just focus on being that wrestler.
Yeah, 100%. Like, if anybody has the question of what is this version of Kellen Butcher going to look like, mm-hmm. this version of Kellen Butcher is going to look like somebody has more fire than ever, mm-hmm. and is willing to do everything that I can to be able to reach my goals.
That's awesome, dude. And I'm so excited for you. I'm so excited to see not only where you're going to be when you come back, but also where you're going to get to, you know, like the way you're talking and stuff, like the focus on the fitness, the focus on developing. Like, I know today you were at wrestling training today and stuff. And when you were, I can only imagine that when you guys started DMDU and stuff like that, you'd already been wrestling for a long time. So at that point, you're not like, oh, I'm working on new stuff, or I'm in the gym every day, I'm focused on my shit job and I'm doing things, and then I also want to do this. Now that all that focus is just on this, and I think that's really exciting, because I know how far you got when you were still dealing with all that bullshit, you know? So, like, how far can he get when he's not doing it? Like, that's the exciting part. You've got a career behind you now that you really enjoy and that you're passionate about, and, you know, you have Aaron and you guys are rock solid, and then now it's just focusing on the thing that you've been missing, and that's just so cool, dude. It's so cool.
I'm really excited for everybody to see everything that I've got planned.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I am still taking it one step at a time. Like, I've got my first two matches announced.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I want to get to Japan. I want to actually be able to go to the States. Mm-hmm. I want to go back to the UK. I'd even like to visit you.
Yeah.
Well, over in Perth.
We would like to have you. That would be awesome. Surely, I mean, that's so overdue, surely.
Yeah, like just to like put up like all like the really cool things in wrestling, especially in Australia. Like, it seems like Australian wrestling, like, obviously I didn't watch a lot of wrestling when I was gone, but I did still pay attention to a handful of things, and yeah, like from Victorian wrestling, there's a bunch of really cool stuff going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Even in New South Wales, there's a bunch of cool stuff going on, like PWA are firing on all cylinders. DMDU are doing a show that's already sold out there, and that's in 2 weeks or a week. And yeah, like everything that's going on with like Dude, Where's My Ring and EPW in Perth.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to see one of my favorite people in the entire world, James Harkness,
mm-hmm.
go on and win the EPW title. That's was
very cool, man.
So cool. Like, just like the transformation that he's had.
Yeah, it's been crazy.
Over the past 2 years. Like
it was wild because I saw him one day and then the next day I saw him and he was half of him. And I was like, what the fuck happened? It's been like, it's been 2 weeks since I seen you. I feel like he's been working so hard, dude. It's very impressive.
Yeah, and even when they were down here in Melbourne, like I made sure to show my love to the Pulse Boys.
Mm-hmm.
They're two of my favorite people in wrestling. Just like seeing everything that they've been able to accomplish, I'm so proud of both of them.
Mm-hmm.
If you look on my other tab on my computer right now, I'm currently watching James Harkness and Mikey Nichols from Dude.
Oh yeah.
Is
it the Jackrabbit Slim show, the DOA?
Yeah,
show?
DOA.
That, so that was crazy, that match. If anybody hasn't seen it, go watch Dead on Arrival from Dude, Where's My Ring on YouTube. But there is a point where they, I don't know if you're up to this, spoiler alert, but they come off the stage, right? And in the mere moments, I am on the stage behind the commentary desk. And there's a point where Mikey Nichols heaves James Harkness on his shoulders and then just turns at me and he just gives me a wink before killing this man. like the level of casualness that this guy just had about, I was so worried about both of them. It was one of the most, I'd say in real life, there's two things that had me genuinely concerned for the competitors that I've seen, and you were in one of them. So there was that one where I was like, they're both dead. And then you and Alex Cologne, my first time seeing Deathmatch Down Under live, I was in like the front row. Like,
when I pretty much bled out. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. When you went off the top rope through this like double story log cabin of light tubes, crazy thing. And I was so fucking stressed because I had seen a lot of wrestling and seen a lot of death matches and stuff like that. I'd never seen my friend do one in real life and do something so hectic. You know, it was before Dude or anything like that and before I'd seen you go on and do a million of these things. And I was so fucking worried about you. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah. That was crazy. Very crazy experience. I remember that one really nasty cut that I got right at the start of the match.
Yeah.
And I bled a lot.
I was already stressed about that. Like, just that cut was stressful. And then you're going through this thing to the outside and Joel and all that are like ring crawling and stuff and they're swarming on you and stuff. And I was like, what the fuck? And I was not okay, basically, until I spoke to you afterwards. Like, when you're like, I'm alive, it's fine. Like,
okay. That's all stuff that I was able to do when I wasn't mentally ill.
That's the crazy thing. That's what I'm trying to say to everybody. I'm like, this man was dealing with so much and he was still doing that wild shit. Imagine what happens when he's like wanting to be there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, yeah, just all the love and everything that I've received ever since like the video went out of me coming back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it truly just has meant the world to me, and I feel like it's a really cool time to be an Australian wrestling fan right now, and I've really missed being able to give fans cool moments. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the driving factors of me wanting to come back is that I want people to enjoy coming to these shows. Mm-hmm. I want to give people cool moments that they can remember. And yeah, I just want everybody to love Australian wrestling and deathmatch wrestling as much as I love it.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. I'm so glad that we find you, you know, this couple of years later, just in such like a good mindset, you know, like to see you approaching it in this way and being so genuinely excited. Like I can't wait, man. We've only got a few weeks, right? Like the,
yeah. I think it's like what, 3 weeks away.
Yeah. So it's the second now and it's the Saturday. So it will be, yeah. What is it? The 23rd. Yeah, absolutely. No hold barred 82. 3 weeks away.
Yeah, 21 days away today.
21 days away. Look, see, you are good at math. You even knew the days and everything like that. So it's very impressive. And that's without even finishing high school.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome.
So I feel like the moral of this story should be for everyone to stay in school.
Nah, it's all worked out. It's fine.
Yeah.
You know, and you too. I mean, you did what you said. You do have a trade. You don't want to do it anymore, but the point is that you did actually see it through, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And now I'm somewhere where I'm being paid a lot better to be happier. So
that's very important. But those skills will never leave you, you know what I mean? And even if you never work as a mechanic again, there'll be times in your life that, you know, you can take that and put it in different places and that working knowledge. Plus, if there's ever some kind of zombie apocalypse and you need to, like, I don't know, make a truck work in order to stay alive, you can do it. You got the skill.
Well, I mean, there's another reason that why you saw me at that ICW tour recently is because I'm one of the only people who knows how to actually set up those goddamn chains.
You were there mechanicking it.
Yeah. It was me and Samson who set it up last time. Uh-huh. And then, after the tag tournament, I was like, I know you're going to be real sore. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to come tomorrow, but I'll be there. You need someone to help you set up the chains.
Yeah, sure. Nah, and they were good. They had good tension in them. It was good to see.
Yeah.
Exactly. Did you have you had the fucking, what are they called? Like, you had the ability to have the apron. What's that piece of metal called? The turnbuckle bit. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah. There was actual turnbuckle on it this time.
Yeah.
Because, it's a different ring than we did the chains on last time, so we kind of had to improvise.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We actually were able to fit a turnbuckle on it, which meant that people could actually stand on the apron.
It's obviously a tag team tournament as well, so that made, like, you know, well, the tag team tournament happened the day before, right? But either way, it was still fucking awesome. Oh, look at this. He's wearing a Pulse shirt.
Yeah, I just remember that I trained in this today, so I wanted to show it off.
Possible new member, spoiler here, or
I pushed for it. I'm pushing for it.
I don't think you would have to push too hard. Hartness is in there now as well. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you go back to the tag team tournament and you listen real closely, every single time the Pulse come out, there's some guy out of the back shouting how much he fucking loves the Pulse.
And it wasn't even me. That was the guy at the front screaming that stuff.
Actually, if I remember correctly, because I did change my – yeah, if you look on my Instagram and my Twitter at the moment, my bio talks about me coming back, and then it also says, fucking loves the poll.
Oh, there you go. These are the breadcrumbs are already being laid out. Is this a conspiracy? What's going on? You heard it here first.
Just two very beautiful boys that I was very happy to see. And I can't wait to see again.
Absolutely. If anybody hasn't watched the Dream Tag Team Tournament, go and watch the Pulse absolutely show out because it was sick. And plus you'll hear my commentary. So there you go.
Exactly.
It's an extra.
And then, I get forced into the ring at the end to give the trophies.
You
and
do.
I'll try to get people to chant for me, and I wanted people to chant for the Poles because I fucking like, love the Poles.
You're like, shut the fuck up. That's so funny. Dude, thanks so much for today. I appreciate you giving me your time after training on a Saturday to come in here and catch up and just give everybody a little idea of your mindset. And, I mean, as if I wasn't already so excited to see you back in the ring, I think this has only served to show, you know, sometimes it's okay to take a break from stuff. You know what I mean? If it's not too hard. I can tell you this right now. We joked about the podcast only doing 70 episodes in the last couple of years. And maybe I would have benefited from also taking time off. You know what I mean? I've been trying to grind through it. It's not that I don't like doing it, but when you have other things in your life, it can sometimes be hard to do this extracurricular stuff and it becomes not as fun and hard to fit into your life. You've really showed that, like, you were in such a dark place and you're like, you know what, something needs to give. We're just going to step away. And then watching that transformation in your mind is pretty cool, dude.
Yeah. I know, like, a lot of people do put across the message that mental health isn't killer, but it really is. Mm-hmm. And it one thing that from everything that I've seen since I've come back is that it is okay to take a break sometimes. Mm-hmm. and to take a step away. My step away just happened to be 2.5 years, but it doesn't matter the time.
Mm.
Because if you love something and you put the energy into something, it will always find a way to give you that love back.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And also, like, it shows as well, like, one of your fears during that time was like, do I even bother coming back? People have forgotten me and things like that. Those connections were real. You know what I mean? The connections you have with the people that support you, with your fans, with the other wrestlers, all those connections were real. And they were just waiting there for you to pick them back up again. And I think that's really important. And sometimes people, you know, continue doing things they maybe don't want to do because they're afraid, you know, it'll just all end and I can never take a break. It's got to keep up the grind and stuff like that. But I don't think that's true. If what you're dealing with is real, it's still going to be there.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. And most of those people are going to want you to do that because they want the best for you, and that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, that's awesome. Well, tell people where to find that the Instagrams and Twitters that claim you're a fan of the Pulse.
My Instagram and Twitter are Callum Butcher. You can always find all the details of what I've got upcoming on my Instagram or my Twitter. If you are in Melbourne on Saturday, August 23rd, mm-hmm. you can watch me come beat Danny DeManto to a fucking bloody pulp inside the chains. Because that man has been chirping on Twitter.
I'm sure he has.
Yeah. Especially when his lovely partner, Jem, takes my sides on things. He starts to get those Twitter fingers real bad. And then if you're in Adelaide, the following week on the 29th of August, mm-hmm. and you want to see a very emotional match between two people who love each other very dearly inside the chains. It'll be for NHB again in Adelaide for their first time in Adelaide, and it'll be myself and my Crimson lover, Akira. And then if you're in Melbourne, the Sunday of that weekend, which is the 31st, Deathmatch Down Under will be doing Poor Decisions, mm-hmm. and I will also be part of that.
Excellent.
Anything else going forward, I don't have the information for you right now, mm-hmm. but yeah, keep up with my Instagram and my Twitter and you'll be able to find out what I'm doing next.
Absolutely. And also, you hinted to me that there will be a merch drop coming as well.
Yes, merch TBD. I should have shirts for at least one of those shows, mm-hmm. if not both.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working with the incredible Redneck Kung Fu, as I know them, mm-hmm. shirts.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at getting something sorted for everybody for when I come back.
Excellent. That is awesome. Dude, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to see your smiling face. I'm glad we got to talk through it all, and I'm so excited about your return, and I look forward to seeing you in like 21 days when I catch you.
21 days, I'll see you there.
Start the timer. I'll put the days counter on my phone with just a picture of your face until I can see it in real life. Everybody, thank you for listening. Thanks for checking out everything. Make sure you support Callan in his journey as he returns to this crazy world of deathmatch wrestling. And don't forget, it's all about peace, love, and pro wrestling. Peace out. Thanks for listening. Faces and Feels is a proud member of the Count Out Podcasting Network. It is created and hosted by me, Rafe Houston, edited by myself and the amazing Ryan Neitzy, and the show is available on all good podcast platforms, so please go rate and subscribe. You can follow the show everywhere on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, etc. at Faces Feels Cast, and you can check out the Count Out Network and all our sister shows over there at Count Out Pod. If you'd like to book me for commentary, have an interview request, a topic suggestion, or you just want to say hi, you can email us at facesandfeels@gmail.com. With all that said, thanks for listening, and please support our friends and sponsors. Peace.
This has been a Count Out Podcast.
Hello, my name is Jessica and I'm the host of Jumping Knee Pod, a modern day All Japan podcast. Join me and a guest each month as we cover all that went down in the ring, outside of the ring and everywhere else. Big title matches, tournaments, character arcs, storytelling, feuds and more. It's all covered on Jumping Knee Pod. Look out for a bonus episode every once in a while covering a variety of All Japan topics. So make sure you tune into Jumping Knee Pod. It's a new All Japan podcast for a new All Japan era.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.